Lord, it will be a glorious day, Lord, whenever you return to get your church and take it home, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you just be with each and every person that's here today, Lord. Just bless them, Lord. Lord, and just draw them near to you, Lord, with your love, Lord. Because we know that you are a God that stays, Lord, that you are not going to leave us. Lord, you're not going to forsake us, Lord, that you are going to always going to be here for us as your children, Lord. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yeah. Let me change mics here just a second. Jordan. Test. Oh, yeah. So we just thank the Lord for that, and we just pray and continue. I ask you to continue to pray for our teachers, our students, our staff, you know, within our schools, that we'll just have a great school year, that God will be glorified in everything that we do. So just whenever you are thinking about it, just on a daily basis, just think about what God has done for you in your life. I tell you, because God is good, and we look at, you know, our salvation, and man, we should be very thankful that we don't have to work for our salvation, that God gave it to us freely. We don't have to work for our salvation, but our salvation should produce works. There is a difference. There is a big difference. We're no longer under the law. Man, we're under grace, and Jesus Christ is that grace. Whenever he came and he died on the cross of Calvary, and he died for me and you, and he paid our penalty for sins, and all we have to do to receive this grace is accept Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me, and you're all I need. I can't do it myself, but you did it for me, and we trust in him. Folks, and we are saved, and we are saved to the uttermost, and he is a God who stays whenever he saves, and that is something we can rejoice about. That is something we can rejoice about. All right, man, there might be few, but we are big in heart, and we love the Lord, and we desire to have what he has given us. And that is our salvation, and we are to give him praise each and every day. We're not to give him praise just on Sunday morning. That is part of it. Man, we get to come together corporately as a body of believers, and we get to praise the Lord together. Man, that is just the icing on top of the cake, as we have made the cake all week. We have been worshiping, we have been praising the Lord because of who he is and what he has done for us. And now we get to come together, see our brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice with each other, love on one another, and just praise our Lord together corporately. There is nothing like coming together and seeing us all come together to worship our Lord and let our hearts be free to just worship him in spirit and in truth. I tell you, there is nothing like it. So don't sit back and just say, well, you know, I'm just here. Man, you are here for a purpose. You know, well, it's Sunday morning. That's where I'm supposed to be. Man, you're here for a purpose, and God has placed you here for a reason. And it is to honor and glorify him, and us to grow closer to him, and us to be fed, us to be reassured of who we are and why we do what we do as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And we do this because we're going through the book of Galatians, and kind of the title of this series is Plus Nothing. You know, it's grace. We see grace below it. Grace plus nothing. You cannot add to your salvation. You cannot do enough to be saved. You cannot do enough to keep yourself saved. It is only by the grace of God that we are saved, that we have salvation today. It's because the Father sent His Son, and He died on the cross, and He shed His blood so that we could have life. We didn't shed our blood so we could have life, because we can't, because our blood is sinful, but His blood was perfect. And we go and we worship Him because of that. So we're going to be looking in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15 through 29 this morning, talking about the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ. There is a purpose in the law. The law has not been done away with. The law will never be done away with. We just no longer live under the law. We live under grace because Christ, look at him just grinning. That's the boy right there. He got it. See, if I get all my grins like this one right here, but Ryland does, you know, I'll be happy up here. I might preach all day then. So, but we have our, you know, we have our salvation through Him because of the, He fulfilled the law perfectly. He's the one who done everything according to what the law said so that we could have life, because we cannot totally fulfill the law. We can be good for a short time, but as I know of myself, I can't be good long term. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fail in some way. But God, Jesus Christ, never failed. He was always there to help, always there to love, always there to fulfill the law so that we could live in a relationship with Him and go to heaven one day and to be with Him. And that is something that we should be just ecstatic about, is what He has done for us. So let's look at Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 15. So if you got your Bibles, please turn there, because I know a lot of y'all can't read that because I try to put too many of these verses on one slide. But this is just for convenience. You still need to bring God's Word. You don't know where I could have got this from. I could have got this from somewhere off of Wikipedia or something. And y'all know Wikipedia is not a reliable source, don't you? Okay, students, whenever you start doing research papers, do not get your information off of Wikipedia. So, I could have got this off Wikipedia. Said, oh, that's just the easiest place. No, man, let's get God's Word. Let's open it up. Let's see what God's Word says. It starts out in verse 15. It says, brethren, I speak to you in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. You know, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, you know, remember, look at this. Let's find it up there. Your seed, it's on the 1, 2, 3. It's on the third line, fourth, fifth line. Is it capitalized? What does that mean? It's deity. It means it's talking about Christ. So just remember that. Whenever we're thinking about this, now Abraham and his seed were promised, you know, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul, you know, the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. But it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. By promise was, the, or then does not, or what promise the, then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, until the seed would come to whom the promise was made. and it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Spirit was confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might give to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept by the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith was come, we are no longer under a tutor. And you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord. Just let it bring forth, Lord, just love towards you, Lord, and just guidance within our lives, Lord. Lord, we just love you and we thank you, and let your Holy Spirit speak this morning in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at these promises, you know, or these passages talking about the law was our guardian. The law was what there was to help keep us in line. You know, it protected us from sin. It showed what sin was in our life. You know, we can go out into our foyer out here and we can see the Ten Commandments written there. Them Ten Commandments, you know, that law was there for a reason, to help guide us within our life before the seed had come, before Jesus Christ had come to this world. And whenever he came and fulfilled the law, now he put the law within our hearts of grace, that we are to love and we are to follow him. We should have desires in our life to follow after the Lord. In Romans 7:7, it talks about, you know, it defines sin. Here it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except for the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. What is that saying? You know, in our mind, a fallen, sinful person, you know, we don't know what sin is unless God tells us what sin is. And whenever he tells us what sin is, it drives it into our heart, and we know that that does not measure up to God's standard. It reveals our need for a Savior. Because what can we do with our sin? We can do nothing with our sin. But we know that we need to be rescued. And I love in the book of Job, where Job talks about my Redeemer liveth, that, you know, he was there. He knew, he knows me. Did Job know who the Redeemer was by name? No, but he knew that he was coming, because Jesus wasn't born yet. Because guess who? What is the oldest book in the Bible? It is not Genesis. It is Job. Was the oldest written book in the Bible. So we see that Job, the book of Job, here it just shows us, and Job knew all that he was going through. Job knew that he was a sinner, you know, but he knew that God loved him, and he knew that he needed a Redeemer, and he knew his Redeemer liveth. And we can say that today in our own lives, because we know that our Redeemer liveth, and he reveals sin. Or the law reveals our need for that Redeemer, the one who is there to purchase us back from our life of sin. Because where does sin lead? To death. Where does death lead to? And I'm talking about a spiritual death, not a physical death, because we will all physically die one day unless the Lord returns beforehand. We will die one day, all of us. But we look at our own lives and we think, man, God loves us so much. You know that He sent His Son and it reveals that we need it in our life. And we can't even do that on our own. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives. You know that God has, that He comes and He convicts us of that sin through knowing the law. If we read the law, if we read, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, we go out in this hall or in this foyer out here and we look at that big Ten Commandments out there, we know that He loves us because He paid them penalties because we're guilty of all of them. Brother Jimmy, I'm not guilty of murder. According to the New Testament, on the Sermon on the Mount, we're all guilty because we have had hate in our heart before. And we don't look at it that way. Well, I look at it the old way. Jesus just escalated the Old Testament. He escalated the law within the Sermon on the Mount, showing us, you know, that we are all sinful in need of a Savior. He guides us, you know, to righteousness, points us to God's standards. And I love this Psalms chapter 9 or 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So what does His word do? How do we know where the word is? It's in His law. It's in His book. The law is in His word, is in the book. So we read His book, and what does it do? It lights our path. It shows us that we need a Savior. And now, today, as we are here, in this time in history, Jesus, the light, the seed, has already came. And we know that He died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day. We know that Abraham had not seen that yet. What did Abraham believe? The promise that God has made. And guess what we are still believing in? The promise that God had made. We just see the fulfillment in that promise in Jesus Christ. But it is still the promise, just like He had made to Abraham. So Abraham was saved just like we are saved. He believed in the promise. He knew what God said was coming, that God was going to send, you know, this seed that would save righteousness or save people, you know, and bring them to righteousness, and that is us today. So God's word, you know, the law points us to God's standard. What is God's standard? His word. How many of y'all have more than one copy of this at home? Be honest with me. Who has more than one copy of this at home? Well, I'm sure that majority of us have multiple copies. I was kind of straightening up, you know, my desk over there a while ago, and I think I stacked three Bibles on top of it, and that does not include this one. And I have others on my shelf, and I've got some at home. So we have multiple copies of God's Word. We have it here, so we have no excuse. We have no excuse. We have God's Word, and we also have something else that helps us and guides us to God's Word, His Holy Spirit. That is within us. You know, He helps us and guides us to understand what God's Word is telling us of how we are to live our lives. So He points us to God's standard and He directs us toward holiness. So the law says, hey, you can't raise up to this mark. You can't fulfill all of this. You know, a sinful man has fallen and we need Jesus, and the law pushes us toward this holiness. You know, and this law shows us that we need to be different than what we are before we are saved. We need to be different than who we once were. So I have an issue, and you know, and people say, Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, do not judge, but we don't read the rest of that. People said, you can't, only God can judge. I think you would rather me look at your life according to God's Word and say, hey, you probably need to get back in line with God's Word in love than stand at the great white throne judgment and God looks through the book and He says, your name is not found. You are cast into the lake of fire too late. So where would you rather be judged at? Would you rather someone as a Christian come to you in love as you are claiming to be a Christian and you are walking off the path of righteousness that we would come to you and say, hey, brother, I have some concerns about what's going on in your life. Or sister, I've got some concerns about what's going on in your life. And I would love for you to come back to God. Let's pray about this and let's get back. I think I would rather have that. Unless you're like some in our society today that do not believe in Jesus, they do not believe in the things of God, do not believe in the law of God, and they will have a time whenever the end comes that they will be cast into the lake of fire. And unfortunately, that will be some of our family members, some of our friends, some of our neighbors. And it's because they just will not accept Jesus. And it may be partly due to us because we do not tell them. That is what is so sad as we think and we look at that verse and society has told us so many times, you know, in our life, you know, that only God can judge me. I would agree that God is going to judge you. But why don't we come talk to them in love? Not in condemnation, not in judgment, in the sense that, man, that you are just judging me, you're judging me. No, it's in love that we go to people. Man, because the law is about love. The law is about God bringing us back to Him. That is what grace is. God bringing us back. And number two is, you know, the law and faith, how they go together. You know, the law was a temporary measure. It was until the coming of Christ. In verse 19, let me get to it. What purpose then does the law have? It was added because of our transgressions, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. So we see that the law was a temporary message for us to see what sin was. But now God has written it upon our hearts. And we live for Him because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is within us. He shows us and He tells us to go read His Word. So it was temporary. It served a specific purpose in a specific time in history before the seed had come. And then the seed fulfilled it. Verse 24, it says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So what was the law? It was a tutor. What is a tutor supposed to be? It's supposed to be something that is temporary, that is to get us back up to the point of where we are supposed to be. Within our lives, our academic lives, we have tutors at school. Miss Barner's a tutor, Miss Grice is a tutor, Miss Jones is a tutor. We have these tutors. Miss Pennington's a tutor, I believe. We have these tutors that are at school, you know, that the student can meet them after school and they can get caught up to where they're supposed to be. That's what the law did. It caught people up to where they were supposed to be. It showed them what the law said of how they are to live their lives. So are we people's tutors? In discipleship, we are, aren't we? We're to help them grow in a daily basis, you know, but it was for a specific time in history that the law was our tutor. But now we are no longer under that. You know, the transition to grace. Oh, let me just say it again. Aren't you happy for grace? Don't you praise the Lord, worship the Lord for grace, that we no longer have to live by the law, that we're no longer under the law. If we were under the law, we'd all be in trouble. We would be in trouble. There ain't a person in here, no matter how righteous that we think we are, how righteous, you know, others may think we are all sinners because we have broken the law. We have not measured up. And then when Jesus came, there was a transition to grace. Faith supersedes the law. In verse 25, he says, "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." What does that mean? We are no longer under the law, because now we are under grace. It emphasized the reliance upon Christ. So now we don't rely upon following a set of rules in the law. We recognize and we emphasize our reliance upon Jesus Christ for our salvation. So am I saved by the law? No, I'm saved by Jesus Christ. Because you know what I call Jesus Christ? He is our grace. He is our grace. He is what the Father sent so that we could have a way back to Him. And number three, you know, the law and the unity in Christ. You know, breaking down barriers. You know, no distinction between Jew and Gentile. In verse 28, you know, we start going through all of these different ones. I'm just going to start in verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Oh, does that sound familiar?
Does that sound familiar? 2 Sundays in a row, I don't jerk it off.
Have y'all seen that today? Let me read it one more time, see if you've seen it today. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Where have we seen that today? Do I? The memory verse. Oh, that was pretty loud, wasn't it? Man, we read it earlier, didn't we? How short are y'all's memories? Come on now. We read it in our memory verse. It's a short verse. Gary, you like the short verses. You told me that at the beginning of the year. You like them short verses. So we have our memory verse right here. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So are we all sons of God? The ones who have faith in Jesus Christ are. Not everyone. We're not universalists, are we? What do universalists believe? Oh, everyone will go to heaven. I'm not so naive that I believe that everyone will go to heaven, because some people are going to reject Jesus Christ and have rejected Him in time and history. So we see that through faith in Jesus Christ, verse 27, "For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Baptism here is not talking about this baptismal waters. It's being baptized, washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, where He has washed His black heart as white as snow, and we are righteous because of what He has done, not because what we have done. What is this water? Well, there's no water in it right now, but I want some water in it. Well, we need to get some water in this thing. We need some salvation. What's this water do? It's just a representation of what happened on the inside. We're telling the world, I'm putting on Christ. That I have died to my old self and I've been raised in newness of Christ. That I'm now His. I'm now part of His family. So it breaks down these barriers in our life. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Man, we are all one. There is no distinction. We have the direct opposite of each one of these. There is the Jews, and then there is everyone else, is how the Bible looks at it. There's the Jews, and then there's the Gentiles. There are the Greeks. And that time and where they were reading, you know, they seen two different people. There was not, you know, those, you know, there was a, not Americans, Europeans, you know, Africans, you know, Asians. There were not all these different people groups. They were all either Jew or you were Greek. You were a Gentile. And they were separated out like that. And what did God say? When the seed had come, that there are neither Jew nor Greek. We are all children of God. There is no distinction with any of us. There is neither slave nor free. The two opposite ends of the spectrum of either slaves or free people. You know, of male nor female. There is no distinction. We are all one in Jesus Christ. So what did grace do? It united us together. So I don't know why we are so separated so much when Christ united us. He united us for a purpose because we are His family. We're all a part of the family of God. We are one in Christ Jesus. Man. So we don't look at other people and say, well, you're that part of the Christian family, and I'm this part of the Christian family. There is no that or there or this or that. We are all one in Jesus Christ. So let's stop, let's don't look at people in a distinct way of, you know, you're different than I am. If you are saved by grace, we are all one. So let's look at people that way. Inheritance and promise. Oh, man, we have an inheritance coming. Man, forget about these earthly inheritance that you think you're going to get. You have one so much bigger, so much better in heaven. You know, it says sons, and we are sons, and we are daughters of God. In verse 26, it says this, you know, what we just said, for we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And sons there is a general term where it talks about everyone that is in Christ. That is just not males. That is males and females that are in Christ Jesus. So don't bring our societies, you know, definitions in our societies, realization, well, they didn't say female. All they said was sons. They didn't say daughters. You know, the Bible is very hypocritical. We have to go back and look at it in the day that it was written, not today. We have to bridge the gap from then till now. So don't let our society and our way our society think confuse us on that. It is sons and daughters of God. We are all promised that inheritance. We are all heirs according to the promise. Verse 29, and it says, if you are Christ, if you are Christ, are you Christ? If you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. Woo! I like that. I like that. Who in here wants to be an heir? Man, I want to be an heir. Man, I'm an heir. I'm an heir to the throne, you know, or being with Jesus in heaven. How? According to the law? No. According to the promise. What was the promise? That there would be a seed that would come, and that seed would fulfill the law. He would die on the cross. He would be buried, and He would rise again, and He would forgive us of our sins if we would accept His grace and accept Him as our only way. More or less accept Him, as Job says, as our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who came to purchase us back from a penalty of sin. Man, ain't God good? Is He good? He is good all the time. And God is here for us. And He is the God who stays. He is the one who will always be there for us. He is the one who promised us. So don't think that you have to go back and you have to start living by the law. I will tell you what you need to do is you need to live by grace in Jesus Christ. Let Him guide your way. Let Him direct your way. Don't worry about a set of rules. Worry about what God tells us to do. Reading in His Word and let Him speak to our hearts. And let it transform us. And let us be different today. Let's all stand this morning as we, you know, just surrender our all to Jesus. Whenever we think about that, are we trying to fulfill our lives, trying to get to heaven by working our way there? Folks, you can't work your way to heaven. There are some religions that say, well, you have to go work. You have to do this in order to be saved, in order to stay saved. I will tell you that is nowhere in God's Word that it tells us that we have to work to be saved and we have to work to stay saved. It does tell us that we are to work because we are saved. Big difference within them concepts, within them context in our life. So God has wanting to do something in your life. Will you allow Him to do? We're going to sing a cappella this morning, page 300, without Him. But let's pray first. Lord, we just thank You so much for each and every person that is here today, Lord. That we think about the law, Lord, and how it was a tutor to help guide us, Lord, and help show us what we needed, Lord. But Your Spirit and Your Son came, Lord, and He physically walked on this earth, Lord, and He died for our sins, Lord. That seed that You had promised back to Abraham had come, Lord, and He was our redeeming grace, Lord, that we needed in order to come back to You, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's one here this morning that has not accepted You by faith, Lord, through Your grace, Lord, that trust in You for our salvation, Lord, not ourselves, Lord, that they would do that today. Lord, in other decisions that need to be made, Lord, even those beyond this time, this morning, whenever this gets posted on Facebook, Lord, someone watches it, Lord, and they hear Your Word, Lord. They hear Your message, Lord, that they will come to You, Lord, that they will come back to Your church family, Lord, whether here or whether wherever they are, Lord, that they would go find a Bible-believing church that they can worship in, Lord. Lord, let us just draw near to You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.